Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Our smartphones and tablets, you want to follow along today? We are looking at that passage, Mark chapter 6. And it's good to be inside. I got to say, I'm already sweating and I'm not outside, so I'm just thinking, oh, this is good. But I'm thankful it's not raining out because we can do a baptismal service not in the rain. Well, when my father, he grew up going to the United Church in Glasgow Station, which is by Renfrew, and my mother grew up going to First Baptist Church in Armprior, and for various reasons, I grew up going to the Wesleyan Church in Armprior. I knew ever since I was young that God had called me into a vocational ministry, and so when I graduated high school and I was looking where to go, I ended up going to a Baptist seminary in Edmonton that was associated with First Baptist Church in Armprior. And when I graduated from seminary in 1985, although I was heading to pastor a Wesleyan church, the First Baptist Church in Armprior thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a guy who graduated from our seminary come and preach to us? And so I came. And preach I did. I preached my heart out. I had lots of family and friends there. A lot of family that still went to that church. And so I preached with passion, and I preached with conviction. And at the end of the service, as is tradition, I went to the back of the church, and as people were coming out of the church, and I was shaking people's hands, and a lady comes up to me and says, "Ah, that was a good sermon. I remember diapering you." You know, so it was one of those things where, so I get it when Jesus says in the scripture today, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, right? Among his relatives and his own home. Well, let me tell you the Jesus story this morning. This summer, we have been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we have seen through Jesus' actions that as he healed the sick and he had authority over the storms and even raised the dead. So today I want to tell you about what happened when Jesus went back to his hometown. Jesus had just been in Capernaum. There he taught in the synagogues and he did a number of amazing miracles, including raising a 12-year-old from the dead. Jesus left Capernaum and traveled the 30 kilometers with his disciples to his hometown of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was where he grew up in, and as was his custom, on the Sabbath day, he came to the synagogue and he taught there. Like you've heard before, Jesus really only had one message that he preached in multiple different ways. The kingdom of God is near, and God wants you to be a part of that kingdom. Repent and believe. I'm sure that day the synagogue was full, right? Because here's the hometown boy, after all, that they've been hearing so much about. He'd been going around the countryside doing these amazing miracles and teaching with authority. And so he's back home. And so I'm sure the synagogue was full. So Jesus preached. And the Bible records that, well, many were amazed at his teaching. We know from earlier that he taught not as was usual in his day, but he taught with authority. It wasn't just that he knew about God. He taught as if he knew God. Mark tells us that they were amazed. That could be translated, they were astounded or astonished. They were hearing things about God that they had never heard before. But this teaching came from their hometown boy. So this is what Mark chapter 6, verse 2 records. He says, "When the Sabbath day came, he began to teach them in the synagogue, and many heard him and were amazed." "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Aren't his sisters with us? The people who were listening were saying, yeah, this is amazing, but we know his family. We know his mother Mary, and we know his brothers and sisters, and many of the family are still right here in this town. We saw him grow up. Where did he get these things from? Where did he get the things that he's teaching now? How did he get such wisdom from this? How is it that he's able to do these remarkable miracles? Those are good questions. Those are valid questions. But here's the kicker. Mark records at the end of verse 3 this: and they took offense at him. I find it fascinating that when Jesus was calling his disciples, Nathanael was one who was invited to meet Jesus by Philip, another disciple. Nathanael was told by his friends who this Jesus is, and sounds like he's the Messiah. Philip was talking about Jesus and says, yeah, and Jesus is from Nazareth. And Nathanael's response is, can anything good come from Nazareth? And now the people of Nazareth are basically saying, we know this guy. We know where he comes from. He came from here. Nothing good comes out of here, is what they're saying, right? So Jesus is teaching, he's preaching, and they're saying, and they took offense at him. Australians have this term. It's called tall poppy syndrome. It refers to a tendency to criticize or attack or resent individuals who have achieved notable success, and they stand out from the crowd. Literally means if you look across a poppy field and you see a taller poppy, you go trim it. How dare Jesus think he's somebody? And they had tall poppy syndrome, and they were looking to criticize. They took offense at him. They're saying, we know who he is. We changed his diapers. Jesus, of course, knew what was going on, and he gave this commonly understood quote. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. So Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. We have the saying in our culture, familiarity breeds contempt. This is saying that normally a prophet would be honored. Someone who speaks with divine authority and amazing wisdom and does miracles as a sign that they are from God would normally be honored. But that doesn't happen in his hometown. Familiarity breeds contempt. And they took offense at him. There's a couple things that fascinate me about this story. Jesus self-identifies as a prophet. In other places, he calls himself the Son of Man. Other places, he calls himself the Son of God. Other places, he calls himself the Messiah. Other places, he calls himself the King. But in this place, he identifies himself as a prophet. And although prophets spoke about what was going to happen in the future, their primary role was to speak truth to culture. They were to give God's message to the people. They were to speak for God to the people. So here Jesus identifies as a prophet. He's speaking God's word to the people of his hometown, but the people of his hometown could not hear the words of God because, well, familiarity had bred contempt. I wonder how often we miss what God wants to do in our lives because familiarity has bred contempt. Some of you
have heard the stories from Scripture again and again and again. You've grown up in church, and you know the story of David and Goliath. You have Psalm 23 memorized. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know these verses. And as you read through the New Testament, you said, yeah, I've been there. I've read that, done that, heard that, saw that. And you have this sense that, yeah, I've been over this again and again and again. I've read scriptures. And now, as I read it, I just kind of know it and I get less from it. If that's you, I get it. If all one does is read for content and an eye for new content, scripture can become familiar, and familiarity can breed contempt. However, if you read scripture to hear what God wants to say to you, you will be amazed at the freshness of scripture. One of the ways that I combat this phenomena of becoming overly familiar with scripture is that for my personal devotions, I change the translation of the Bible that I use every couple of years. The New Testament was, of course, originally written in Greek. When you translate from one language to another language, you use different words to get across the same idea. That's why we have different translations. So if your Bible reading has become stale, or familiarity has become settled into your soul, think about taking off a different translation. There are some hazards with that. I know one of the hazards when I read a scripture over again and I become familiar with it in another translation, and I get up in front of you and I go to read scripture, and the word that I think is going to come next doesn't come next, and so I stumble over my words, but that happens. If your Bible reading has become stale, take on a different translation. Now, as you probably know, God can speak to us in many different ways, right? Scripture is the primary way, and that's what we measure what is true and not. But God often puts people in our path to speak to us. Now, I get that unlike Jesus, we're shaped by our experiences and our perspectives, and our perspectives are not always God's perspective. But that being said, God often uses people to speak into our lives. God often uses parents to teach their children what is right and wrong. Some of us had great parents, some of us have had challenging parents, but sometimes God will speak through our parents. But we miss it because, well, familiarity breeds contempt in some ways. How could anything good come out of Nazareth? As a pastor, I'm familiar with this dynamic. I pastored a same church for 28 years. And I was always amazed by this dynamic. So new people will come into the church, right? And so I've been there for years and years and years. And so new people come in, I preach, they heard me preach. Oh, pastor, that was amazing. People have been there for 20 years. It's just Brent, right? Like it just, familiarity breeds contempt. But God often uses the words of people who we are familiar with to speak into our lives. But sometimes we miss it because we're busy. Sometimes we miss it because, well, can God use that person? One of Jesus' rules while he was here on earth was that of a prophet. He spoke into his hometown. I believe that the God is speaking to us a lot more than we hear because, well, what we're hearing is familiar, but we're not able to hear the voice of God in the familiar. The Bible says that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God, but sometimes I go outside and I just see the heat and the rain, right? Well, people were amazed at his teaching, but they took offense because, well, he was their hometown boy. Whether it was tall poppy syndrome or whether familiarity had bred contempt, they took offense. Now, missing who Jesus was and who spoke and brought the words of God to the people had consequences. Verse 5. So he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. While God can work in the absence of faith, he usually chooses not to. There are some times when God just shows up like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. And Paul didn't have faith, but God did something anyways. But that's normally not God's way. In the previous chapter that we looked at last week, there was this woman who had this issue of blood, and she thought, if I could just touch the robe that Jesus is wearing, I would be healed. And so she makes her way through the crowd and touches the robe, and she is healed. Jesus doesn't know that he was performing the healing, but he felt that the healing power had gone out of him, so he turns around and says, well, who touched me? And his disciples are kind of confused because he's surrounded by a crowd, and there's a whole lot of people touching him. But when it was finally all the dust settled, this woman was identified, and she came and told Jesus her story. And Jesus tells her, well, your faith has made you whole. Because of your faith, you have been healed. While God can work in the absence of faith, he usually chooses not to work in the absence of faith. He usually chooses to work in the context of faith. In the case of Nazareth, it says that Jesus could not do any miracles there, except just a few people were healed because of their lack of faith. That lack of faith has real-world consequences as well. Here's what I've learned about living the Christian life. God is not a vending machine. So you can't put in a toonie worth of faith and God dispenses what you want him to dispense. That's not how the spiritual life works. However, when we live in the context of faith and we believe God for what's happening around us, God has a way of moving into that context and doing what he wants to do. Faith sets the table for God to serve us in power. You'll remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it's by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. So you're saved by grace. Grace means that God's undeserved favor. We didn't deserve Jesus paying the penalty for our sin. We did not deserve to be loved by God. We did not deserve to be forgiven. We did not deserve God's mercy or God's friendship or God's love. God's grace encompasses all those things. We didn't deserve them. It's by grace you have been saved. But it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. The context of faith. God's kindness, God's forgiveness, God's love and mercy are available to everyone. But the reality is that God wants to bestow that favor. However, it's not until set in motion, until there is faith. This morning you heard Avery's testimony. When I talk to someone about being baptized, I'm looking for answers to the question, like, do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? You heard her answer, yes, I do. That's faith. Do you believe that he is in your life? Have you received Jesus into your life? And does he come in? Yeah, that's faith, right? That's the kind of faith that releases grace. All the goodness of God is undeserved favor in our life. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Nobody can boast about the fact that their own goodness has earned this. No one can boast and say, well, I've earned God's favor. No one can say, well, I've worked hard enough, or I've done enough good things, or I'm righteous enough to deserve God's grace. The Bible is very clear. God's grace is a gift. It's a gift that God wants to give to us. But that gift is opened by faith. Faith in who Jesus is, and faith in what he has done. And faith in what he's done for you. Whether someone is being baptized, when somebody is being baptized, they're saying, because of what Jesus has done for me, I believe that I'm God's child. Baptism is a symbol on the outside of what's already taken place on the inside. God's grace, God's unearned favor has been given to me. Well, back to our story. The miracles that Jesus did on earth were a sign of the kingdom of God, that God had come near, and Jesus went all over Galilee demonstrating the kingdom of God through his miracles. But he got to Nazareth, and the Gospel of Mark records that he was amazed at their lack of faith. And so this is not a good trend to have. You see, they didn't have faith, and so they didn't see miracles. Faith creates the context for God to do what he wants to do. As you might guess, I talked to a lot of people about faith. I found that there is a correlation between the attitude that says, I've been there, done that, and faith becoming stale. There's a correlation between a staleness of faith and a familiarity that has bred contempt. And there's signs of this. If you come to church with little expectation but to meet with God, you probably won't hear from God. This may be a sign that your faith has become stale. Familiarity has bred contempt. Until you deal with that attitude, it's unlikely that God will show up much in your life. Another sign of your faith becoming stale is that when you read scripture and when you pray, it's like, well, it's become a checklist. It's a way, I've done what I'm supposed to do, and you just kind of check it off your to-do list. If your faith has grown stale, I want you to know that Jesus still speaks into our culture. Jesus is still speaking into our lives today. And he invites you to reach out. An even worse sign that your faith has become stale is that you just go through the motions. If that's you, you stop reading scripture, you stop praying, and you have this crisis of faith. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus invites you back to say, hey, there's something real here, and you can unlock it by your faith. You can unlock it by saying, by doing what Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is really close to us. And it's unlocked by faith. But Jesus' message over and over in the Gospel of Mark has been to repent and believe the good news. Say, Lord, I am sorry that I've become so familiar that I haven't been listening to your voice. I'm sorry. I choose to repent of that, and I'm going to turn towards you, and I'm going to expect you to move in my life. That's repentance. That's faith. Lord, I don't feel the kingdom of God near, but I'm going to choose to believe your word that it is near. And so, Lord, I repent of familiarity breeding contempt. Lord, would you breathe faith into me and help me to see the kingdom of God once again? I want my faith to be fresh. With that, I want to encourage you to repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is near. Let's pray. So, Lord, in these moments of silence, I want to ask you to come. And if there's anyone here whose faith is, well, familiarity is bred contempt. They know all the stories, and they're saying, I've been there, done that. I'm praying, Lord, that you would give them the faith to believe that you can speak to them once again. Lord, help them to trust you. For those whose faith has grown stale, I'm asking that as they reach out to you, that you would restore a freshness to it. I want to thank you, Lord, because you're able to do this and more. As people reach out to you, Lord, grasp their hand and let them know you're close. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.